Well, tonight, beloved, I wanted to take some more time looking at John chapter 15. I pretty much read the verses we went over last Sunday, except we looked at verses 1 through 6, and really, I'm just going back through those verses again tonight, but I really want to emphasize something tonight that I feel like is really important. One of the privileges of my getting to preach the Word of God every Sunday and having the privilege of studying the Word of God in-depthly is that I have the opportunity in my study to go through a portion of text, a pericope of Scripture, to pull out and mine out the meaning of the text. Oftentimes when I prepare to preach, one of the burdens that I face as a pastor is to make sure that we're covering enough text, going through the text in a good manner and in a decent pace. And sometimes I'll set out to preach a whole pericope and want to cover that point, that main point of that pericope of text. And as I am studying that passage, though I have an outline and I go through that passage and I prepare and preach that whole portion of text, as I'm studying, I will come across a verse out of that passage, kind of a supporting principle, not necessarily the main point of the passage, but a supporting principle that the Lord will really burden my heart on and will really instruct me and teach me in my study. I actually have had this happen to me a lot as I've went through the Gospel of John all the way through. It's just been really rich. And sometimes the burden that I face is, do I preach this whole passage or do I just preach this one principle, the supporting principle? Well, tonight, beloved, rather than move on with more verses and more text, I want to look at a supporting principle in the passage on the vine and the branches that I feel is really important to our understanding of this metaphor that Christ is giving us. Last Sunday, in my preaching in verses 1 through 6, it was really pretty much explaining the main characters of the vine and the branches. We really looked at the three characters. There's the vine dresser, and the branches. And that sermon was necessary and important, and I would have to say I would feel that a lot of it was polemical. It was really dealing with and discussing and describing and trying to understand, get our minds wrapped around what does Christ mean by removing branches and having them burned. And we kind of looked at that a little bit polemically. Well, tonight I kind of have a desire to look at the text a little bit more pastorally and practically. And I want to take some time to look more deeply at this concept, this supporting principle of the vine and the branches from the perspective of the pruning of the Father. The pruning work of the vine dresser, the Father, in verse 2. Really an amazing portion of text. If you would look at the verse with me, verse 2, actually verse 1 and verse 2, we'll just look at those. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But every branch that bears fruit, notice, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. This is a very helpful passage, I believe, in understanding what Christ is getting at with the vine and the branches. It is very easy to read this metaphor and skip over that little detail that is in the text about the vine dresser and his pruning work of the fruit-bearing branches. Oftentimes, we get focused on the branches, and we get focused on what the branches are doing and what Christ is commanding those branches. But tonight, beloved, before we get into that later on the next few Sundays that follow, it's really important that we look at this pruning principle of the Father. I believe that the Lord Jesus is very specific in what he says. He is very detailed in what he says, and he is very orderly in the manner in which he says what he says and what he means by what he says. It is very significant I believe, beloved, that the Lord has this order that he rolls out when he teaches this metaphor on the fruit that comes from the branches. I want you to notice the flow of the passage. I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus mentions that the Father prunes the branches, and he says it before verse 3, where he declares that the fruit-bearing branches are clean. Notice verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. He mentions this pruning work of the vine dresser, the Father, before he describes and talks about their state in the vine, that they are clean, that they have been forgiven of their sins, and they've been declared righteous by virtue of the righteous life of Jesus Christ. And also, I want you to notice the order here. Notice that Jesus says this before the pruning work of the Father, before mentioning that they're clean, and before mentioning to them that they need to abide in the vine. Notice verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. Now, we can think that this has little value, if any value at all, but I don't think it does. I believe that the Lord is very calculated in the order in which he teaches this metaphor. Very importantly, he is the vine, he's the true vine, and we need to abide in the true vine if we're going to bear fruit. But very clearly, the Lord tells us that the Father is the vine dresser. And the first thing that he says about the fruitful branches is that they are pruned by the Father. These branches, let's remove the barren branches. We're not talking about the barren branches tonight. What we're really concerned about tonight are the fruit-bearing branches that are in the true vine, meaning the true believers. The Lord Jesus, in describing and talking about the branches that bear fruit, before he even commands them, and before he even tells them of their position, that they're clean and forgiven in Christ, he describes and discusses briefly there's a pruning work of the Father. There is a pruning ministry that the Father has in our lives. Look at verse 1. Notice what it says. My Father is the vine dresser. A vine dresser is a person who maintains for and cares for a vineyard. We don't really talk too much about vine dressers. We really don't talk about this occupation that is actually in the world. Maybe if we were in Rome or Italy, where there was a lot of vineyards where they were growing wine and they were growing grapes to make a lot of wine, then we would have a little bit more understanding of that. But really, this role of the vine dresser and what a vine dresser does is very important to the understanding of the branches and the vineyard. One of the primary ways that a vine dresser takes care of the vineyard is through pruning. Pruning and cultivation of the grape vines. This understanding of the vine dresser is a very important concept, and it's something that's a little bit distant from us, but most certainly would have been fresh on the minds of the disciples. Literally, for them, wine was a very important aspect of daily living if you lived in ancient times. In fact, wine was an important part of society, not just for recreational use, so to speak, but actually for substance to live, for existence. I remind you of Paul telling Timothy to drink a little wine because of the sickness that he was going through with his stomach. Timothy was wanting to be disciplined with wine, and so he was abstaining from wine, and because of that, he was drinking the water, and unfortunately the water would be sometimes not so healthy, and you could get sick. So what they would do was they would dilute the water with wine. Back in those days, wine was a very important part of society, and people would have understood the importance of a vine dresser and the bearing of the fruit of the vine. The vine dresser in those days and in vineyards has many duties in the care of that vineyard, taking care of the watering of the vineyard, taking care of the tilling of the soil when necessary and needed, taking care of the pests that would seek to hurt grape production, and the harvesting of grapes. But one of the most important roles that the vine dresser has or had in keeping the vineyard was the pruning of the vine. The pruning of the vine. I was looking at a website and looking at this job description of the modern day vine dresser, and here's what it said about the role of a vine dresser. It says, quote, "Pruning is one of the preeminent tasks of a vine dresser. A vine dresser must have knowledge of the two most common ways to prune grapevines, cane and spur pruning. These pruning techniques take into consideration the shape and consistency of the vine. Pruning is an essential task as it removes dead, diseased, and stunted fruits to make room for new growth, ultimately leading to a healthy and productive vine. The pruning process," it says, "begins very shortly after planting, usually within a few weeks." Pruning is absolutely essential. Now, did you hear that? Did you hear the pruning process? Did you hear the importance of the pruning process? And did you hear when the pruning process takes place? Only within a few weeks, the pruning process begins after it has been planted. I think this is significant, beloved. I think this is what the Lord was referring to in the metaphor. It's not the main point of the passage, but boy, it is a very important point to the vine and the branches illustration for us tonight, beloved. I think the disciples would have understood what the Lord was teaching them, given the agrarian culture in which they were raised. And I don't know about you, and I don't know if that really strikes at your core when you think about this flow of the vine and the branches. And the first thing we're learning is that the Father prunes the fruit-bearing branches, and that's the first truth that we get aside from Christ being the vine. I find that very thought-provoking. Jesus says, the vine dresser prunes the branches, and the order is critical. He says it before he states that they're clean, and he says it before commanding them to abide. Now, don't you find that somewhat profound and interesting when you think about the flow of the metaphor? I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but I believe there is great significance in this, especially when we look at where we're going in the rest of the chapter and the remaining chapters. The Lord, beloved, wants us to understand the vital importance of pruning in the life of the branches. He wants you to understand the important role that pruning takes in your personal life as a follower of Jesus Christ. And so tonight I want to look at the importance of pruning in the life of the branches. Or I could say it personally, I want to look at the importance of pruning in your own personal life as a believer and one who has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's three truths that I want to look at from this passage. And the first truth that the Lord, I believe, wants us to realize about being a fruitful branch in Christ is that pruning is normal, not abnormal, to being a branch in the Lord. Pruning is normal for God's people. Look at verse 2, beloved. He says, every branch that bears fruit, what does he do? He prunes it. Matter-of-factly, indicative mood. Verb is in the indicative mood. It's just a fact. This is what the Father does to the branches that bear fruit. He prunes them. And why is that important? Because what we need to realize as believers is pruning is normal. It is not abnormal. To be pruned by the Father is to be expected, is to be understood as a normal part of the process of being a fruitful branch in the vine. Now, I know that each and every one of you woke up this morning and you weren't thinking, boy, I just want to be a total loser today. I don't want to have any usefulness or fruitfulness to the Master today at all. I want to live a life that is productive and fruitful for the Lord. And here we find one of the first ways in which that takes place in our life as Christians. We need to understand that pruning is normal. Most certainly, the disciples needed to come to grips with this truth, beloved. They really were new branches. They really were new branches. Sure, they had walked with the Lord for 3 years in his ministry. They'd seen his miracles. They'd heard his words. They observed the truthfulness of his words as he fleshed them out in miracles, signs, and wonders. But really, the fact of the matter is they were new branches. And they had just been planted in Christ, and now the Lord was leaving them, literally. He was departing from them, and he was commissioning them to go forth for him to bear fruit for Christ. But if they were going to be fruitful branches in the vine, one of the first principles that these disciples would need to embrace was that part of being a branch in the vine is you must expect pruning from the Father. Pruning. Pruning would be regular, and it would be often, and it would be painful, as we will talk about. Just like a vine dresser begins pruning only a few weeks after the vine has been planted, so it would be for the disciples. And it was about to begin very soon. It was on the brink of happening. In the Lord's betrayal and in his crucifixion, they would be tested. They would deny him. You remember, they would deny the Lord. They would flee to save their own lives. And then they would be restored. And they would learn the very first lesson of pruning, that the Father would literally let Satan sift them as wheat, as it says in Luke 22, verse 31. And the pruning, not only would it begin very soon in their ministry and in their lives as believers, but it would continue throughout their lives as they're abiding in the vine. It was to be normal. It was going to be normal. To be a fruitful branch, it was normal, not abnormal. Now, this is good for us to first think about. When we think about being in the vine and striving to live a life for Christ, the first truth we need to realize as believers is that there will be a pruning ministry of the Father in our lives. We oftentimes forget this. And unfortunately, we can forget it very easily. We oftentimes tend to think that being a branch in Christ means only blessing, and it should really just be blessing. And what I mean by blessing is blessing in the sense of comfort and ease and material wealth and prosperity. No losses, no pain, no suffering. But that is not what it means to be a branch in Christ. To be a fruitful branch in Christ is to be a pruned branch in Christ. If you want to be a branch that has it easy and comfortable, then you can expect to be the barren branch. You can expect to be the branch that withers up and dries up. Being a branch that is without pruning, beloved, is like being on the broad road that leads to destruction. You remember when Jesus said that in Matthew 7. He said, enter through the narrow gate, because the gate is wide and the way is spacious that leads to destruction. That's the easy road. And guess what? Everyone is on the easy road. That's the easy road. But then he goes on to say, but the gate is narrow and the way is difficult that leads to life. Pruning is a normal part of fruit bearing in Christ. Do you want to bear fruit for God? Do you want to have a fruitful walk with Christ? Then guess what the Lord is teaching us tonight, beloved? That you are going to need to expect to be pruned by the Father. And it's not that necessarily you want to be pruned, necessarily, but it would certainly say that you are willing to be pruned by the Father. That is often the dilemma we face as believers. We want to be useful and fruitful to the Master, but we don't want the pruning. And I can honestly tell you, I don't want the pruning. I certainly don't like the pruning or the cutting shears of the Lord in my life. But the reality is, if you're a real, true, genuine believer, the first thing the Lord does in your heart when he saves you is he makes your desires change. And the number one affection that changes is the direction of your heart and your life. You want to be useful and fruitful to the Master. And the Lord is addressing his disciples, and he's telling them, I'm going to send you out, and I want you to be useful and fruitful, but the first principle you need to learn is you're going to be pruned. You're going to be pruned. Very important concept that we get our minds around. I think that's one of the things that's the hardest thing for new believers. When a new believer comes to Christ and suddenly they're being persecuted, or suddenly things are getting really difficult, and suddenly they tend to be shocked. Why is my life having so much difficulty? Why is this so hard? Well, this is why. If you are a fruitful branch, then you will be pruned by the Father. And very clearly, Scripture teaches us that this is a very important process to being that branch, and teaches us to expect it. You remember 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, we went through that on persecution. Peter even writes to the believers who are suffering under the fiery trials of Nero, and he said, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Don't be shocked when you suffer according to Christ. It is normal that we as believers would suffer because it's part of the pruning process. I'm reminded of Acts chapter 14, verse 22. It speaks of Paul. It says that Paul, he came back through Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, and it says he was strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, listen, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And I'm always struck by the events. If you were to look at that verse and you look at the context, what you find out is Paul, on his first missionary journey, he went through all these cities and he preached the gospel, and he was literally stoned and left for dead in Iconium, and he fled Iconium and he went to Derbe, and he was in Derbe for a while. And then you know what Paul did? He went right back to Iconium to encourage the brethren to persevere in the faith after he'd been stoned there and left for dead. And he makes that statement that we, through many tribulations, must enter the kingdom of God. Are you being pruned right now by the Father? What is your attitude towards the pruning process of the Father? Are you surprised by the pruning work of the Lord? Are you bitter about the pruning process of the Lord? Does the trial and the pruning process of the Lord make you bitter, or does it make you better in the Lord Jesus Christ? Beloved, I think this is the first and foremost truth we need to think about when we think about being a fruitful branch that is abiding in the vine, and that is that pruning is normal for God's people. The second truth that we learn tonight, that we learn from this verse about being a fruitful branch in Christ, is first, pruning is normal for God's people. Secondly, pruning is needful for God's people. It is needful. This is a very important principle. Jesus in verse 2 says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. Prunes it, literally. The word for prune speaks of purging, speaks of cleaning, speaks of purifying. The word there for prune literally could be translated to speak of pruning in the sense of purging, cleaning, purifying. This is such an important principle, beloved. When we think about the pruning work of the Father, where we go wrong in the pruning work of the Father in our lives, is not only does it take us by surprise, we're shocked by it, but we really also equally don't think that we need it. We really don't think we need to be pruned. We're okay. We're okay as bearing just a couple grapes on that branch. We're okay with just a little bit. And so we really don't think that we need to be pruned by the Lord. And really what that comes down to is the sin of pride. The sin of pride. We are unfortunately fine with the dead branch that's hanging off of us. You know, that one that just hangs off of us, sucking the strength right out of us, keeping us from bearing fruit for God. We're fine with the diseased branches that cling to us, the ones that choke off the flow of the sap of the Holy Spirit that would flow to the leaves that would bud and bear fruit. It's unfortunate that we think this way about our lives, that we are surprised by the Father's pruning, but that we also fail to see our need for the Father's pruning. And that's because we just have too high of a view of ourselves. We don't see the depth and the breadth and the consequences that our sin can bring in our lives and how it affects our spiritual growth, how it affects our usefulness and our fruitfulness to the Master. Sometimes I think, beloved, and I quote my wife when she says this, I told her, I said, that really preaches. I want to use that in a sermon. But sometimes I think she says this, I think she's right. She says, you know, sometimes I think we as Christians only see our sin in the rear view mirror of our lives. Like we're these Christians driving down the road, and all the only sin that we see is in our rear view mirror. It's behind us. We don't need to worry about it anymore. But the reality is, we have sin in front of us, and we have sin actually in the driver's seat as we're driving down the road. We are sinners. Psalm 51, verse 3, David said, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Sometimes we're like rear-view mirror Christians. We only see our sin in the rear-view mirror and not really right in our front of our face and in our midst. But the Lord knows, and the Lord knows our need for pruning. He knows the reality of our lives as abiding branches, and that even though we are, and get this, even though we are bearing fruit, bear that in mind, these are fruitful branches, they're bearing fruit, and even though we're bearing fruit, we are still sinful. We still sin, and we have sin, and we have sinful thoughts, sinful words, and sinful deeds. And this is why pruning is needful. Not only normal, but needful. This is why I believe, beloved, the Lord has the order the way that He does in the passage. This is why He comes right out of the starting block with Him being the true vine. The Father is the vine dresser, and He prunes the fruitful branches. He has that right before stating that we are clean in Christ, that we've been forgiven of all of our sin. There's no doubt, as believers, we've been cleansed of all of our sins by virtue of the work of Christ on the cross on our behalf, and by virtue of the righteous life of Christ, God has literally reckoned to our account a perfect standing before Him by the righteous life of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean we are without sin. We still sin as believers. We still sin as Christians. And the Lord knows this. And this is why the Lord prunes us. He prunes us. He knows our need for pruning. He knows how essential this is so that we can bear fruit. And by the way, beloved, this is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing that you would be pruned by the Father. Let us be reminded that if you are without pruning, then you are without a Father. If you are without pruning, then you are an illegitimate child. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 says, "It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. It is needful and it is good that the Father would prune back the sin in our lives. It is very good. You want to have a father. You want to be legitimate children. The verse goes on to say, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, it says, furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, listen, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That is a very important principle. Did you hear that, beloved? That discipline by the Father is for your good, and it's so that you can share or be a partner with his holiness, and so that you will, did you hear that, yield or produce the peaceful fruit of righteousness. What a truth. That is what pruning by the vine dresser will and should produce in your life. You know, sometimes, you know, when you think back over your life and you think about the suffering and the difficult times that you've gone through in your life, and the Lord has pruned back the sinfulness of your heart, you think back to those times. What was the fruit of that time? If you're a true vine, what did it produce? Hopefully it produced humility, dependence, trust, casting yourself upon the mercy and the wisdom and the love of the vine dresser. Pruning will produce righteousness in your life, and that righteousness begins with humility, dependence. I am often struck by this word here. Like I mentioned before, this word for prunes, he prunes it. That word literally means to purify or to purge. The word is commonly used in inscriptions of ceremonial cleansings. It's not the normal word used in the Greek for pruning, but Jesus uses that word pruning to speak of purifying, because he's not talking about literal branches. He's talking about people who are represented as branches in the metaphor. The Father prunes his people. He purges the sin that prevents them from growing in Christ. He purges it, he purifies them, keeps them so that they will bear fruit in Christ. What a truth, beloved. This is so important. The Lord knows what you need and what I need best. And I mentioned last Sunday, too, that the vine dresser, a really trained, well knowledgeable vine dresser, knows exactly how much to prune away, knows exactly where to cut, knows exactly when to do it, and how often on each of those branches. And so it is with the Father. The Father prunes us to produce holiness in our lives. And the primary ways in which he does it are really, there's only two ways he does it: truth and tribulation. Look at the truth, verse 3, we see it. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. That word clean is the noun form of the verb form of pruning in verse 2. You are already clean. You've already been cleansed. How? Because of the word. And how did that happen? Because they put their faith in the word of God, and God regenerated them through the Holy Spirit. He washed them clean of all their sins through the Holy Spirit. And he purified them. And the word of God has a purifying effect in our lives. If you are a true branch, then the word will do its sanctifying work in your heart and in your life. What does Hebrews 4 say? That the word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And what's it able to do? Judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. There is the truth that the Father uses to prune us back. Even Jesus said in John 17, 17, sanctify them, make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth. One of the things that really just grieves my heart is to see churches spend all this time on everything but the truth in the service. They do all the worship for hours, they do all this other things, and the truth is just really minimized in the church, and that is so damaging to the branches and their bearing fruit. The truth is the blade of the pruning shears of the Father. But not only is that's one blade, the other blade, trials and tribulation. Jump down in John chapter 15, look at verse 18. Jesus very clearly tells the disciples this in the context. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. Did you get that? A slave is not greater than the master. If they persecute the master, they will most certainly persecute you. And that, beloved, is the other blade of the pruning shears of the Lord. Truth and tribulation together have a very powerful effect in the pruning process of the Father. And beloved, as I said, we need this. I just love how the Lord does this. I actually had prepared to read to you out of that great hymn that we sung tonight. I didn't know that Mitch was playing it tonight, in that hymn that's Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, that great hymn that we just got done singing. The reason we need the pruning is because what the hymn writer said. What did he say? He said, let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Maybe it could have been written, prune my heart, O Lord, because it wants to wander. It's prone to wander. Beloved, the truth combined with tribulation is one of the best ways for the vine dresser to prune the branches. And why? Because I told you it keeps us humble. I'm always reminded of Paul's struggle in 2 Corinthians 12 when he talks about how he had that thorn given to him in the flesh. And he tells us very clearly why, that the Lord God gave him the thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment him, and why? To keep him from exalting himself, to keep him humble, to keep him dependent upon the Lord. And what did Paul do? He pled with the Lord, Lord, take it away, take it away, take it away. And what did the Lord tell him? He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness. And Paul said, very therefore, I will gladly boast in my weaknesses. Beloved, do not spurn the Lord's pruning in your life. You are not in glory yet. You are not without sin. You are not righteous in all that you say, do, and think, are you? I know I'm not. Then guess what that means? You need pruning. You need pruning. God's passion and goal for you is godliness, righteousness, and holiness. And what is that? Fruit. The bearing of fruit. Moreover, I want to add to that as a footnote, though, beloved, don't only not spurn the Lord's pruning in your life, but don't fear it. Don't fear the Lord's pruning. The Father is the vine dresser. What does that mean? He's the caretaker and the protector and the provider of the vineyard. He looks over his vineyard with much care and control. Listen to this, Isaiah 27, verse 3. I, the Lord, am its keeper. every moment I water it, I guard it night and day so that no harm can come to it. He may prune the sin back in your life. He may bring the trials and tribulation in your life, but he's still in control, and he does it with much love and care and concern for his fruitful branches. Don't be surprised by it. It is normal. Don't spurn it. It is needful. Lastly, embrace it because it's useful. Last point, it is useful. Notice John chapter 15, verse 2. Jesus says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Isn't that great? He gives us the reason of why the Father prunes our lives, so that we may bear more fruit. Pruning is normal, needful, and very painful at times, but it is absolutely useful, meaning it has a purpose. It has a grand purpose, and that is very clear. It is so that you can bear more fruit. And this is an emphasis in the text. Notice what Jesus is saying. He is saying he wants every branch to bear more fruit. Now, notice, it doesn't say that the branches don't bear any fruit. They're already bearing fruit. What the Father wants is more fruit. More fruit, more fruit. The word fruit is used 8 times in the chapter, and bearing more fruit is used 3 times, once in verse 2. Look down at verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, more fruit. Look at verse 8. Jesus said, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples. More fruit, more fruit, more fruit. In verse 8, that is a great passage because not only do we get the purpose of the pruning to bear much fruit, but we also get the reason why it's so important. It's so that, look what it says, so that the Father is glorified and so that you can prove to be a true disciple of Christ. Very important. God is glorified when his people bear fruit. And not only this, but you, when you bear fruit, prove that you are a true disciple of Christ. When you're bearing much fruit, you prove that you're genuine, especially when it comes through a pruning trial. And when you go through a trial and you are able to bear fruit to God, you are able to go through the trial with love and patience and kindness and joyfulness and faithfulness and peacefulness, and you are self-controlled in the trial, then you clearly prove that you are a disciple of Christ, and you prove that Christ is living through you and that you are in him. A great truth. Fruits of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Consequently, beloved, when you produce the fruit that Jesus is talking about, God is glorified by it. You realize, beloved, how important this is? You realize that any fruit that comes out of your life as a Christian that is along the lines of the fruits of the Spirit, you realize that that is only the work of God in your life. You realize it's the work of you being in the vine, and it's the work of the vine dresser pruning you back, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit flowing through you in his power, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and you realize that it is all the work of God when you bear fruit. And somebody says, wow, I really am just encouraged by your love and your kindness toward me, or I'm really just encouraged by your faithfulness to the Lord. Do you give glory to God for that? That is his work in you. He is the one producing the work, and you realize that God is most glorified in himself. And so when God is glorified in you, it means that God is glorified in his work through you. God is glorified in his people when they are under the dominion, submission, and obedience to the Spirit's power and control in their lives. And when you do this, you prove that you are a genuine disciple of Christ. Now, I know that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that I believe that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a true branch, your greatest desire is to be useful and fruitful to the Master. And I believe that that actually is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, that you would have that desire. But if you are going to be that branch that Christ is speaking of here tonight, beloved, who bears fruit and then bears more fruit and more fruit, then you must start here with your understanding in the pruning work of the Father in your life. Keep your eyes fixed upon the author and the perfecter of your faith. Persevere in the hardship, knowing that the Lord is doing a work in your life to bear fruit for his glory. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith is producing endurance. And let that endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing, so that you can bear fruit to God. Beloved, embrace it. Be thankful for it. If you're here tonight, however, and you don't know the Lord, maybe you look at your life and you just see barrenness. You see very little fruit, very little love for the Lord, very little patience in the work of his providence in your life. You look and you see barrenness, you see rottenness, you see a broken branch, and you see fallenness. I pray tonight that you would turn to the Lord, the true vine. Find forgiveness for your sin in him. Turn from your sin. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and become a fruitful branch to his glory.